Good morning and welcome to your Friday Breakfast podcast with Capitalize. You will note that I am not Alex Clark. Alex is enjoying a well-earned holiday. I'm Kirsty McGregor, accountant in residence at Capitalize and founder of the Corporate Finance Network. So today we thought we'd do something slightly different. We have a special episode for you because so much has been going on with the central banks this week. We've decided to have an interest rate special, and we don't normally focus on the Breakfast News podcast on interest rates that much because it's all over the press, but we've decided today to go deep on it. And there's only one man for the job, a co-host this week then, and that is our co-founder and CEO of Capitalize, the macro guru, Paul Surtees. Welcome, Paul, and thank you for stepping in for Alex.
Absolute pleasure. I feel like I'm about to step into a boxing ring.
Yeah, let's hope there's been no bets on you. So, question one, let's go straight into it. Look, give us some background, please, first of all, where we are, which banks we're focusing on, and you know, what's been going on this week.
Yeah, sure. So this is a huge week from a central bank perspective. You know, it often works out this way. We've had the US Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, and the ECB all coming in and setting rates and setting tone for 2023. Obviously, we are all focused in the UK and the UK economy, and that means that the impact of the BOE is obviously going to be much bigger for us. But whatever the US central bank does has enormous impact on global markets. And so we've obviously got to be able to track that. And particularly when we think about currencies, it's sterling versus dollar. So, you know, that's obviously a critical part. And the ECB is obviously crucial to us because of it being our largest trading partner. So just following those three central banks, obviously super important to just get the macro view across the landscape. So what's been going on? What's the background? So look, the BOE started hiking first and have hiked the most times. So they've hiked now 10 times. Today they've gone from 3.5% to 4%. The US Central Bank started tightening after the Bank of England, but have been without doubt the most aggressive. You know, they've done a number of 75 basis point moves. And for those who don't know what a basis point is, that's 0.75% increases in their rate rises. But they've now slowed and tempered. And last night they moved by 25 basis points, 0.25%, moving their range to 4.5% to 4.75%. And then the ECB, our European partner, they were late to the game. They often are late to cut, late to hike, but they're catching up, they're talking tough, and they raised 50 basis points today to 2.5%. So as a really simple introduction, the Fed and the BOE are pointing to disinflation, they're tempering their rate rises, and they are not cautiously optimistic, but they are pointing to the fact that there are some results starting to be seen. And the ECB are out there talking tough and, you know, setting the tone with the market.
Okay, so tell us a little bit more detail then about each of the banks and what's happened over the past 24, 48 hours with them.
Sure. So the Fed, as I said, 25 basis points last night. Their vote was unanimous. I listened to the conference last night. That's the kind of fun guy I am. And the rhetoric was softer than expected, or at least what I expected. Jerome Powell definitely seemed to be happy to be talking about disinflation. And what I mean by that is, you know, there are certain pockets within the US economy where inflation is actually falling. So, you know, and obviously we've seen that here in the UK. The bit that I thought was odd is that many times he brought it back to the fact that core services, non-housing inflation, quite a mouthful, but 60% of that big core sector is still not showing any decline. In fact, you know, it is still increasing. And so there's still work to be done. And the concern out in the Fed is that 60% of that is actually linked to a tight labor market. And the US labor market and the UK labor market are both experiencing very tight labor markets. You know, from an unemployment rate perspective, it's, you know, super low, and that feels good. But of course, tight labor force means not enough people to come for the open jobs, and that means that wage spirals you know, are more likely to come in. So that's the risk. They did point to the fact, and this is a truism across all central banks, not just these three, the rate movements that we're experiencing have a lag in the economy. It takes a while for us to be able to see that. So what the Fed is ultimately doing is that cautiously optimistic, I think, in the sense of this disinflation, but there's still very much work to be done, focusing on that core services function and waiting for that to turn down. So mindful of the lag, they're starting to go in smaller increments, so not the 75 points, but 25 points, and waiting for that lag to come through and hoping that that core inflation actually comes down. So moving on to the UK, where I guess we've all got a much more emotional steer to. They've raised rates, I think, much as the market predicted, 50 basis points from 3.5% up to 4%. It wasn't a unanimous vote. It was a 7-2 split. So 7 voting for the hike and 2 voting for no change. And that's the second meeting in a row. The two individuals who have paused basically said no more hikes and now implying that by hiking rates, we will actually bring forward the point at which we will have to actually reverse some of these hikes. The challenge, I guess, that we've got is that whilst we're all suffering the after effects of the pandemic, the UK's challenge is, as I mentioned, in the US, we've got a tight labour market, but we also have the energy crisis that the whole of Europe is seeing. So we've still got food price inflation picking up. But Bailey sounds like 4% could be a peak unless we see persistent inflation coming through in this kind of wages and food. So they're very much forecasting a big fall in the second half of the year of inflation. Let's hope that we see that and no further hikes are needed. Quickly onto the ECB, 50 points, so 2% to 2.5%. Definitely talking tough. They've told us that they are going to look to do another 50 points at the next meeting. It'd be a surprise, therefore, if they didn't do it. They're slightly less impacted by the labour crisis. Of course, when we think about Europe, there is the Northern and the Southern Europe dynamic. And obviously, the unemployment rates are far tighter in the Northern part of Europe than in the Southern part. So there is kind of like distribution across Europe. I think the point being is that or one of the key pieces that they're looking out for is that they've come in pretty big with energy support, and ultimately Lagarde, the ECB guru, is ultimately suggesting that the European governments are going to have to scale back that that support to prevent inflation scaling more. So some tough talk from the ECB, tempering from the BOE and the Fed. So what does the future look like? Well, last night, listening to Jerome Powell, I got the sense very much he talked about hikes. So he did 25 last night. I think that implies he wants to do another 25 at the next meeting. And then we may well be in a wait and see. The BOE, I kind of get the sense that they're going to sit on the brakes a little bit. So this may well be the peak. I saw that the chief economist from BlackRock is suggesting that there's still more to go. And the ECB, of course, telling us that that there are more rates to follow by virtue of them starting late. But every action here from these central banks is presupposing that inflation is on a downward trajectory. It's going to continue on a downward trajectory, and that these tight labor markets are not going to spiral upwards. And I guess if there's a risk to identify in the UK, you've only got to look at the UK and the strikes that we had yesterday, the biggest in a very long time, to see the risks that are implicit in the Bank of England forecast when we're thinking about inflation. So thinking about the risks, we're at a crossroads, really, for central banks, not just these three, but all of the central banks who are in the developed world taking these kind of actions. If you look at our current situation, unemployment rate is super low, wages are climbing, and yet collectively our confidence as consumers, as businesses, from an investment perspective is low. Why is that? Because of inflation. And so our sentiment is crucially important for the direction of rates and what central bankers are doing. So if they come off too early and they stop hiking rates too soon to stave off a recession, then inflation is going to resume. And at that point, they've absolutely lost their inflation fighting credibility. And our sentiment as consumers will drop to the floor. I think they're already damaged a little bit as central bankers, because they talked about transitory inflation and now we're talking about persistent inflation. So they got it wrong. But of course, to give them their dues, we'd never been through a cycle of a pandemic in this monetary policy world. So I hope that they've got it right. I hope that the cautious optimism and the pointing to the disinflation and that the forecasts are right and that the rates are approaching peak and we can start to get to a sort of a sense of a turn in all of this.
Mm. I listened to the Bank of England press conference, thankfully not evening time, it was earlier on today, Thursday. It was really interesting actually just to listen to the differences, that the two particular things that Andrew Bailey was saying was that, exactly what the Fed have said, there is a time lag. So the impact of the increased interest rates last year, we haven't yet seen the true impact of that come through yet. And businesses and consumers are definitely feeling it. But also, I think what is quite peculiar in the UK market is that we have this lower labour activity where we somehow have not responded in the same way post-pandemic as Europe and the US have, in that our labour market hasn't come back. The activity levels are not there, and that's due to a lot of people taking early retirement and also long-term sickness. And that's very much something that Andrew Bailey was quite concerned about and also watchful over, because he was saying, you know, we have made a lot of assumptions in these forecasts with the labour impact, with the redundancy, unemployment impact that may still yet come, with the wage growth, with the energy costs, and you know, we need to keep a watchful eye over him. So that was very much their stance. So looking then to small businesses that we work with, our advisors work with, what do you think they should do now, listening to all of this and seeing the situation that we're in?
So I think actually, rather than use my words and my thinking, I put a post out on LinkedIn earlier in the week, kind of previewing, I guess, what was going to be happening this week and, you know, tee up for this, and, you know, got some really great feedback. And so I guess using the words of our Capitalize accountants, you know, the people that we love working with and the people contributing in, Pamela Phillips from De Jong Phillips, you know, she said that markets will do what they do, and, you know, Sterling's done what it's done, and the markets have done what they've done. So she's absolutely right. The politicians will do what they do. You know, obviously we've got the contributions from the central bankers and the politicians themselves, but the businesses themselves just have to understand what their cash flows look like. They have to be proactive, they have to be balance sheet disciplined, and they have to kind of get into that space of accepting what is going to be happening this year and attending to their businesses in that context. Paul Barnes from MAP, has been using a phrase for a while now, but that's financial maturity. And, you know, he's kind of indicating that, or implying that, clients are more actively seeking financial maturity, meaning that, you know, they're working with MAP and they're kind of going through the motions to get themselves up that maturity curve of understanding the numbers and the impact and the margins and all of those things. Jonathan Dudley from Crow, very much kind of supporting what Pam and Paul have said, but the businesses that are going to succeed are the businesses that, you know, kind of orient around, I guess, the wealth creators and the yes and statements rather than the no buts, and ultimately being kind of agile in this environment. And then Lucy Cohen from Mazuma suggesting her clients, like Paul Barnes's, are actively seeking advice, and they did it in January. So despite the tax returns, despite, you know, everything that kind of goes on in that period, you know, she's seen a much bigger uptick in people coming in and actually asking for help, you know, from an advisory perspective. So it seems like the businesses are wanting to go on that curve. And what we know is that the businesses are going to have to go on that journey, because it's those businesses that will not only survive, but thrive. So I think it's financial maturity, is exactly the behavior that we need to see. And if we can help it move up that curve a little bit faster, then that's what we need to do. And that's how we can, you know, help the business community.
Spot on. And aren't our advisors just so insightful? They're brilliant, aren't they? Let's use them.
They nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. That's exactly the answer to this question.
It is. So thank you, Paul. Really appreciate you coming on and sharing this this understanding with everyone so that you see the headlines and hopefully you'll understand a little bit more about what's going on and where we are moving to. So here's a reminder for those that are new to Capitalize. Our vision is to give small businesses and their advisors transparency and control over their own business finance. So every small business is able to identify the risk that they may face over the year and coming years and explore how they stand from a credit perspective, and then choose the right funding that fits their business to help them with their growth. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast. Hope you really enjoyed this one, and please do subscribe to make sure you get future episodes. Don't forget, we'll have a latest interview next week, and you can explore our back catalogue as well. We have over 50 great guests with lots of other tips for advisors and their businesses. For more about the Future Positive podcast and Capitalize, please check out capitalize.com. Have a great week. Thanks again, Paul, and we'll see you all next week.
My pleasure. Have a great week.